It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN with Chris Raunchy and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Salter. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by John Morosi of the MLB Network. Does some Fox Sports contributions as well. You can follow John on Twitter at John Morosi. And John, I was on your Twitter page and I saw that you're projecting the Diamondbacks as one of the NL wildcard teams in 2020. We'll get into the non-fun COVID stuff in a second here, but
do
real
we
baseball.
Have to?
We
should.
We probably should. John, I like the Diamondbacks as a sneaky team as well. For those that haven't checked out the video yet, why do you project them as one of the wild cards in the NL?
Well, a couple reasons, and thanks for having me on the show and for the question. To me, the Diamondbacks, I think first and foremost, Robbie Ray being in good form coming into spring training is huge. He's healthy. It's a contract year for him. So much on the line. I think he knew that coming in. He had a very good spring training, and he has now also arrived to summer camp in very good shape. So I think his focus and the way that he's fully invested in this year, I think it really bodes well for their rotation. Of course, he's got Madison Bumgarner with him now, which is going to help them a lot. And it's interesting to note that of course, they're now, I guess, a year and a half removed from the Goldschmidt deal, and I think that the Goldschmidt deal helped them out with, of course, some of the young players they got back there to Arizona that made them a stronger organization. Of course, Goldie, I think, is going to have a great future in St. Louis as well. So it really truly is, a deal that helped out both sides. And I think, too, with the Diamondbacks, they've got Ketel Marte, one of the best players in the game that people don't still talk about. Of course, he finished fourth in the NL MVP vote last year. So I look at it as a really, I think, a very good team. Not a great team, not on the Dodgers level, but it's a very good team that I think will settle in nicely to a wild card spot this year.
John, every time I hear somebody say Madison Bumgarner and Diamondbacks, I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally forgot that happened. There are so many players that moved around and have bounced around. And look, we haven't had baseball in a while, we forget. But I don't think there's going to be one that we see in a different uniform that's going to look weirder than Madison Bumgarner. I mean, can you think of one?
I can't. I mean, that to me is one of those images that I was there covering the World Series 10 years ago now. It's amazing how long ago it was in Texas when Bumgarner, I think he was 20 years old, starting there in Game 4. What an incredible outing that was. So he, to me, has always been a special playoff performer. Of course, we've seen it many times. But for him to do that in the Giants uniform for so long and then now be at a division rival. And plus, it was a team that wasn't even really mentioned all that often as being the team that was pursuing him the most. There was even, of course, whispers that the Cardinals might have been a good fit for Bumgarner. So I think it's a very interesting conversation. I think it really has changed a bit of the dynamics there in the NL West. I still think the Dodgers, for all the world, are the team to beat in the National League West and probably all of baseball this year. But the Diamondbacks are better, and the Padres are better. You know, they're a team that they've sort of been the perpetual team that's up and coming, but I really think you consider a full year of Tatis, and the Padres' young pitching has gotten a year more mature, a year better. I really think the Padres, in a short look, because of all the youth that they've got, are going to be a very dangerous team as well.
How do you look at the Cardinals in the context of the both Central divisions?
They're a very interesting team. I look at, we mentioned Goldschmidt earlier, I think he's going to have to be really key. I think maybe the first year wasn't quite the MVP level of goalie that we have seen in the past, but I think this year, again, a short look, when he is on, which he usually is on for a lot of the year, he is as good of a hitter almost as there is on the planet, and I expect that kind of a year from him. He's a very focused player. And I think, too, it's going to be a very interesting dynamic for the overall lineup with the DH, and likely going to be Matt Carpenter. What kind of impact does Dylan Carlson have as a 21-year-old? I think he's a very intriguing young player. Tommy Edmund now, we've seen him, of course, last year, what he meant to the club, what he will do this year as well. And on the pitching side, of course, Flaherty, one of the best, I think, 5 or 10 pitchers in the game right now. He's such an exciting player to watch. I think it's going to be a tough division, though. I look at the Reds as having very similar pitching. If you look at the Reds' rotation top to bottom, I'm a big believer in Hudson as well, especially when he's able to locate the ball a little bit better. But I think that the Cardinals will have a very tough match in the Reds. I think the Reds have as good of a chance to win that division as anybody else right now.
John Morosi is our guest in the Fastlane on 101 ESPN, at John Morosi on Twitter. MLB Network and Fox Sports reporter. John, settle debate for us. When baseball does come back in a couple of weeks, who do you give the edge to, the pitchers or the hitters? Who do you think is going to be more ahead?
Pitchers. pitchers.
John, that's all the time we have for you. So
thanks,
we
John.
You
go. No, we appreciate that, John.
I feel pretty strongly about that, though.
I was actually
texting with a player who had been in camp last week as things got going, and he basically had that same emphatic answer that I just gave you, was that the hitters are going to be behind. They haven't seen enough live pitching, whereas a lot of pitchers, for the most part, they've kept themselves in pretty good shape. You've even heard reports at different camps of pitchers coming in ready to go five innings, six innings potentially right away, which is a surprise to me. So I think the pitchers are ahead. And the other thing that I'll be really attuned to early on in the season here is, how do we see the quote-unquote game speed dynamics of the game? Running the bases, turning a double play, relays, cutoffs, overall defensive crispness. Those questions to me have to be answered early on, because there's not a lot of time for players to settle in and make mistakes. They don't even have barely more than a few exhibition games at the most. So I think in these circumstances, I'm looking first at who's timed up from a hitting standpoint, and then secondarily, the game speed questions and the overall defensive continuity that is so important to winning baseball games.
John, just so you know, everybody in their right mind had the same take as you with
That's
the pitchers
correct.
Being far ahead of the hitters, except for one guy.
I gave my answer. I'm not going to wade further in any family drama there on the show, guys.
You're right. Thank you.
It's like my household. There's somebody that's always right, somebody that's always wrong. It's the same thing here, but just different person. All right. So let's get into the issues that have popped up right now, John. The testing has been a problem, and I get it. Look, I had an Amazon package that was supposed to arrive over the weekend, but, you know, the holiday pushed it back a little bit. But some underwear for me isn't the same as a COVID test for a player. John, what's happening here?
Well, you're right. I mean, there's been issues and delays in testing, and there really is not a good explanation for it. I understand the holiday weekend was there, but that's really not a viable explanation for the delays and for the teams simply not knowing who had tested positive and who had not. I mean, that is the bedrock of this entire enterprise, and there has to be better coordination, period, full stop. It's got to be better, because the trust of the players and the public is inextricably linked to the efficiency and the process that's involved in testing. If you can't test consistently, if you don't know who is COVID positive and who is not, then the entire enterprise begins to fray, and you can't afford for that to happen. Not during the first 2 weeks, and not ever. So I think MLB is obviously working to address the issues that have crept up. It's disappointing that they did exist. But the reality is, we're here, and baseball is going to have to find some ways to make it better over the next couple of weeks. I do think, guys, that in general, from talking to players that are involved in this, there is good buy-in from the players that are there. I realize that some players have opted out, and my full support understanding is with them. But those that are there, I think, have done a very good job of understanding what's going on here. They've been wearing the masks to the ballpark, as has been requested. We saw Mike Trout running the bases with a mask on. This is the reality of the time in which we live. And if we want to have our sports back, as we all do, then we've got to be, everybody involved in society, period, but also the baseball narrower context, you've got to be great citizens. You've got to wear your mask and keep your distance and do the basics. And if you do that, then you got a chance to get back something that we all love so much.
So, John, all of the players, they have been buying in for the most part, as you've said. It seems like they're doing everything they can possibly do that they're told to, but they're just waiting on these tests, and they have seemed to lose quite a bit of confidence in the entire system. Do you think that a large number of players, maybe more than half of the players, are concerned that we're going to be able to get through a season here?
It's a tough question, I think, from the standpoint of how we all harbor questions or doubts, I think, in our own hearts or minds about things. I mean, there's obviously a base level of concern, I'm sure, for everybody, because we realize we're trying to have a baseball season in the midst of a pandemic, and we've never done this in modern times, certainly in American society on this level before. So it is a daunting task for everybody, and I think it's only natural to feel some concern, worry, anxiety, all those things. What I think is so important, though, is that for everybody involved in this, from a baseball standpoint, I'll speak strictly about this, from the MLB to the union, there has got to be full trust and coordination. And I think that to a large extent there has been. But we have to realize what we just emerged from a standpoint of labor relations. It was not a great negotiation. We all realize that. But once it's done, you've got to put down the swords, so to speak, and work together, because if there is sniping back and forth and a lack of faith, the enterprise cannot succeed. And the CBA negotiations will happen. That's not until the end of 2021. We'll worry about that some other time. This is not the time for continuing to worry about where the scoreboard is either way. And if you've got an issue with how the negotiations went, fine. Put it in your iPhone notes, and we'll get back to it in about 6 or 7 months' time. We cannot be relitigating what happened in the last few months, because if we do, there's simply not going to be success. So I'm sure there is concern. That's natural, but I think that as long as everybody realizes, once hopefully this hiccup, which is a big hiccup, once it gets addressed here in the coming days, that as long as there's full trust and faith in what's going on with respect to the baseball's testing program, I'm still going to be an optimist that we're going to have a season.
He's John Morosi. You can follow him on Twitter at his name, at John Morosi. John, really appreciate your insights today. Stay safe, and we'll have you back on when baseball is up and running here in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great, and we'll talk Blues as well in the future. They've got a cup to defend, my friends. That starts up in a few weeks as well, right?
Darn right. All right, so we'll have you back on. We'll talk a little Blues hockey as well.
I can't wait. It was a lot of fun being there last year during the Western Conference Final. Always love being in St. Louis, so it's my pleasure to talk to you guys.
We appreciate it. No, it's our pleasure. Thanks, John. Thank you. That's John Morosi here on 101 ESPN, who does not agree with me. He agrees vehemently with you guys.
He doesn't agree with you because you happen to be wrong.
You don't know that.
No, but I think we do.
Well, look, we do have a wager, so
Did baseball happen?
It's about to.
Yeah.
Outside of the KBO, which has its act.
Where the pitching is ahead.
Where it has its act together. No, I don't think so.
I watched again this morning.
I don't think that Major League, what's that?
I watched again this morning.
How'd our Dinos do? I missed it.
I wasn't watching the Dinos play.
What?
No.
How did they do?
I don't know. I don't know how they walk. I blacked out a little bit. I was kind of tired.
5-4 over SK.
Over SK?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Scored late.
Our Dinos are working. I'm ready to see. You know what I'm ready to see, though? And I never thought I'd say this because, you know, being a guy that never threw hard. I'm ready to see guys that throw hard again. KBO has a lot of movement. By the way, a whole lot of, I don't know what they call it there. Maybe it's the shooto. But the
watch your mouth.
Shooto, yeah, it was the one that Mr. Baseball couldn't hit.
Ah,
the hell was that? Shooto. but it's like they got like a screwball going on. Big time pronation, not a changeup, still throwing off the same two fingers as your fastball. But that bad boy is rolling off. But everybody's throwing like 86.
Well, that's okay.
It's time for some 100. Look, I like it. I like the pitching aspect of it, but I'm ready to see some freaks just let it eat.
That's Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji. I'm Anthony Stalter. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Earlier in the show, we're talking about the Chiefs and whether or not they're justified already for him and Patrick Mahomes, what they did yesterday with the 10-year contract extension. I want to talk about how Patrick Mahomes basically has no excuse when it's all said and done, when his career is over with, outside of an injury, for not being one of the best ever. That's next on 101 ESPN.